There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
Okay, welcome to the Thursday edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I will be here for the next 2 hours. My two guests today in the first hour, first it's an excommunicated LDS member named A. True Ott. And he's going to tell you how the Vatican has been involved in infiltrating the Mormon church from its very beginning, and also some other interesting stories about satanic worshiping in the temple in Utah. My second hour guest is Kevin Abrams. He's written a book called The Pink Swastika. And if you ever wanted to know about the homosexuality in the Nazi Party, homosexuality in Capitol Hill and on our government, and how this operates, and really what is going on behind the scenes, The Pink Swastika is the book to read, and Kevin Abrams will come on today and talk openly about this problem. But before we get to my guests, let me spend a few moments reflecting today. And many times I do this, I reflect about why this message that we're trying to carry on this show doesn't catch on in the mainstream media. And the message is very simple. There is an involvement between a geopolitical organization called the Vatican for over 2,000 years in the affairs of mankind, and most of their work has been evil. In modern times, it's been covered up. And I reflect, is the message simply this? Is it because of the mainstream media that we don't get the message across? Is it because of apathy or fear, or is it something entirely different? Now, why I reflect on this, so do some of my guests. And I had a gentleman on by the name of Frank O. Collins, who wrote a book called The Almanac of Evil. And he was reflecting on the same thing. And let me tell you what he wrote to me in an email, because I think you might find it fascinating, because he really does want to destroy the Vatican, bring back good instead of evil, and show people this connection. But why isn't the message getting across? And he says this, as you and many of your readers and listeners know, it seems an impossible or almost difficult task to bring to light even a fraction of the truth revealed by your guests, Greg, on the show and on the ArcticBeacon.com and similar sites. This is what I know about the problem. The Vatican, through the use of its pharmaceutical industries and through the use of its massive amounts of gold and money, has succeeded in making the United States a nation of addicts. The greatest challenge facing any message of truth is that America, like the rest of Western Christian world, has become a nation of addicts. Drugs, and especially illegal drugs, is the first thing that comes to mind. And when that comes to mind, we think of Iran-Contra, the Bush, George H. Bush connection to, you know, the many illegal drugs that are brought into this country. But when you hear the word addicts, think of something different. But in truth, Americans have become addicted to synthetic painkillers, prescription drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. And these are far greater in numbers and worse in cost than the illegal drug trade. Americans' addiction to fossil fuels and driving instead of walking, of eating fast food instead of unprocessed food, is choking the environment in our arteries and our hospitals in record numbers. But again, this is a relatively minor addiction compared to our deepest of cravings. We're going to get into this a little bit more right after this break, and then get to my guest, A. True Ott, right after this short message.
Ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Oh, walking towards Washington.
Walk until peace has come.
All right, we're back on the Investigative Journal. And this hour, I've switched my guests from switcheroo here. Kevin Abrams is going to be on the first hour and talk about the pink swastika, and A. Truat, the excommunicated LDS member, will be on the second hour. So let me just finish my thoughts, though, and then we'll get quickly to Kevin Abrams. I was reflecting, as do many people, why this message, why the invisible hand of the Vatican has never been revealed. And it's easy to just say the mainstream media and to do that. We know that is a problem. But I think it goes much deeper, and so does one of my guests, Frankel Collins. And we're talking about the invisible hand making America a society of addicts. Addicts to many things, and not only to synthetic drugs and things and alcohol and tobacco. But our greatest addiction, says Frankel Collins, is to the endless desire to acquire more personal possessions, to acquire more wealth, to spend more wealth under the banner of consumerism and prosperity. It is this addiction, above all others, that has forced most Americans and Westerners to tune into the world of interest rates, stock markets, economic announcements, and technology releases at the expense of truth and reality. It is why so many of the generation under the age of 30 today seem strangely to seem to support conservative politicians and right-wing commentators, even at the expense of common sense, because they identify neocons as the fathers of the past, present, and future economic prosperity. But remember what Adam Smith said: economics and the invisible hand of the Vatican. It is no coincidence that the foundation of economics continues to be placed as 1776 by Adam Smith, an obscure Mason with Jesuit connections who wrote a book Wealth of Nations, about the emergence of the invisible hand. In the words of Smith, regarded as the founder of modern economics, it is this invisible hand, not necessarily good planning or policy, that ensure future prosperity. Who or what, then, might this invisible hand be? The answer lies in the date of the publication. So Smith's work in 1776, a date which also happens to be the year the Jesuits put in place their Illuminati scheme to create an international banking network, both to disperse, hide, and utilize the wealth of the Catholic Church. And let's not deny this. They have been they were in the 1800s widely known as the wealthiest organization in the world, and now they've gone underground and they're hiding their assets, and they're the same today. And they use a network of business people and enterprises to help make this happen. And if you go to my website tonight, you'll see the number of banking connections to the Jesuit order and the Vatican. And this invisible hand has been working on America for years to basically take this country over to a fascist regime. So we'll leave it at that. But that's one reflection on why this message doesn't get across. Is it because Americans are too addicted to other things to even care? That's a big question that needs to be answered. But if we understand it, maybe we can turn people around. Let's get to my guest, Kevin Abrams, and he's been turning people's heads for years, ever since he wrote the book Pink Swastika. I enjoy this because it's a good look at the real problems of homosexuality in the Nazi Party, homosexuality that's covered up and used as a movement to basically move a political agenda, as it did in the Nazi Party, as it's doing now in our country, according to Kevin Abrams. Kevin, how are you today?
Good morning, Greg. Pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and I'd like to, this is an intellectual adventure too. Go back and tell us about the Pink Swastika, what you found out, and lay a foundation for your work so we can grapple with these tough questions about what's going on in this neocon movement in our country. Go ahead.
In 1994, I was, actually earlier than that, I was doing research into the roots, the underlying causes. I was looking for the ideology or the quickening force behind anti-Semitism and the hatred of Jews throughout history and in the world. And basically, I saw a contradiction between the claim that homosexuals had been persecuted alongside the Jewish people during the Holocaust as victims in common. And it seemed like a fundamental contradiction, that somehow or another, homosexuality, which was basically rejected from a Torah perspective or from the Mosaic Code perspective, would be something that would be considered an aspect of victimization during the Nazi regime. That the Jews and people who were embracing this type of conduct would be persecuted equally or on the same basis by the Nazis. What I found out, of course, was that some of the most prolific Nazis were actually homoerotic, were members of a homoerotic cult, and were actually militant, what we would consider as or portray as militant gay pederasts for purposes of political or social identification. I also found out that even though some effeminate homosexuals were persecuted under the Nazi regime, that the Nazis themselves were, as I mentioned, militant gay pederasts, and that there were two sides to the gay community or the gay world in Germany during the World War One or after World War One or pre World War One and after World War One, between World War Two and World War One, during the Weimar Republic, 1919 to 1933, when the Nazis came to power. Now, during that period, there was a culture war that went on between the Adolf Brandt faction, which was a militant gay pederast faction patterned after Hellenistic or Greco-Roman militarism, and the sexual relations between comrades and the sexual induction of young men into a homoerotic militaristic cult, if you will.
Yeah, Kevin, can you explain what's the difference between a militant gay pederast and an effeminate homosexual?
Effeminate homosexual, if you read the book by Chauncey called Gay New York, you'll identify a conflict that used to go on during the time when sailors would dock in quite large numbers in New York Harbor and so forth. And there would be a competition between the drag queens and the female prostitutes for what they referred to as the seafood trade. And that conflict or that competition on the docks explains an awful lot because basically the drag queens used to target heterosexual sailors. So the target of sexual affectations for the effeminate or the the female side of the more femme side of the homosexual world is generally speaking other men or heterosexual men primarily, and not young boys per se, or relationship between comrades in a very militant fashion. So basically, you had two worlds, two different worlds in Germany, and they were quite competitive for control in German society as far as the gay rights movement was concerned. As I mentioned, the Magnus Hirschfeld crowd. Magnus Hirschfeld was an effeminate Jewish homosexual and a physician. And he founded the Scientific Humanitarian Committee and the Institute of Sexology in Berlin. He fought for the repeal of Section 175, dealing with sexual crimes involving young boys and sodomy and so forth. That was the section under the German Penal Code that dealt with homosexual crimes. And basically, he was in the ascent. He was on the more powerful side of the political equation when it came to gay rights in Germany, and until the Adolf Brandt faction rose, and when the Nazis came to power in 1933, they marched against his, the first book burning in Germany was to burn his library, which contained 40,000 documented files, or files documenting evidence of sexual crimes amongst the Nazi rank and file. So it was an expedition to destroy evidence primarily. They destroyed his institute, and Magnus Hirschfeld had to flee for his life. So the militant gay crowd rose to power at that point. And of course, in 1934, you had the removal of Ernst Röhm, and of course, Ernst Röhm was well known even today. Ernst Röhm is known as one of the more flagrant pederasts or homosexuals amongst our militant gays leadership, militant gay leaders in the Nazi Party, or in the early National Socialist Movement from 1919 on to 34 when he was removed for political purposes. So the early identification for homosexuals in prison or concentration camps is referred to by Willy Fischer in his book as a brown triangle. They were, of course, in 1934, after Rome was eliminated, some 160 SS officers were murdered, and they used to leave a note on the SS tunic saying "Rocher's Avengers" or "Rome's Avengers," and so the brown shirt organization was criminalized. Many brown shirts
were. This connection with Rome, even back then. Right. And the militant gay pederast movement inside the Nazi Party, correct?
Yes, but Hitler was known as the most corrupt of them all. Hitler was encumbered by a very violent, a very form of sadomasochistic type of disposition, and he attempted to have relationships with a half a dozen or so different women, but the women were, three of them committed suicide, and most of the women wouldn't have anything to do with him or were. You know, even his niece was probably suicided or removed because she began to say strange things about her uncle. It was called Uncle Adolf. And basically she had to be looked after, according to some historical documentation. So you had the two sides, the militant gay pederast and the effeminate homosexual crowd. And basically there was the history. Frank Rector, was it Frank Rector? James Seekley, gay Holocaust historian, identifies that some 12,000 Pink Triangle prisoners were incarcerated in concentration or prison camps, not extermination centers, and some 5,000 of those perished at the hands of their prison guards, and occasionally.
Kevin, let's take a break right here. I have to take a 3-minute break, then we'll come back with Kevin Abrams, author of The Pink Swastika.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking.
Okay, we're back. Kevin Abrams, author of The Pink Swastika. Kevin, so we're discussing the militant gay pederast infiltration of the Nazi Party, including Hitler himself. Tell us how this, what this was all about. Go ahead.
It was just basically to return the militarists to power, the aristocrats, basically to destroy the Weimar Republic. Because after the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, there was a lot of resentment about the reparations from the Treaty of Versailles, the loss of World War One, and so forth. And then the stab in the back, you know, Germany was betrayed on the front by the people back home, and et cetera, et cetera. So there was this concerted effort to undermine the Democratic Republic, Weimar Republic, and return Germany to her previous glory. And so Ernst Röhm was one of the officers working from behind the scenes to conceal arms and weapons and to agitate and to work towards the renewal of power for the German landowners, the aristocratic class, the industrialists, and so forth, like Krupp. And so that's what it was all about. And they assassinated they resurrected an organization called the VEM, the Holy VEM, and there were some political 300 political assassinations that took part in the that occurred during the early part of the Democratic Republic. In fact, Walter Rathenau, who was an assimilated Jew in Germany who felt that German culture and art and science and so forth was the highest culture and science in the world, was also removed or assassinated by this particular organization. The VEM goes back many hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, there's a book by the name of Paul Winkler, an author by the name of Paul Winkler, titled The Thousand-Year Conspiracy. Is quite informative and enlightening as to the Holy VEM. The one book that really lays this out quite nicely prior to our book, The Pink Swastika, which, by the way, can be read on the web if you go to my website, www.slaveshipamerica.com, slaveshipamerica.com, and scroll down to the bottom of the article. The article is La Amistad, Slave Ship America, and it gives you some jurisdictional jurisdictional issues as to what type of a system Americans and Canadians and so forth are living under today, and some of the machinations, the legal machinations that are used to capture people into the fiction, what I refer to as the fiction. But anyways, there's this book titled The Pink Swastika, which Scott Lively, my co-author, and I wrote. The first edition came out in 1995 while I was living in Jerusalem. And we've gone through three other editions, so we're now at the fourth edition. And it's twice the size as the original book, with an incredible amount more documentation. And much of the material we weren't able to include because we're limited in size as far as the book is concerned. But it's a 400-page book, and our sources are well documented. The book is available for reading on the web. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page, my webpage, Slave Ship America, and you'll see a link is there for The Pink Swastika. And that homosexual and Nazi party. But one book that was written in 1945, actually by one of your compatriots from Poland, the Polish fellow by the name of Samuel Igra, he documents on the cover, on the jacket of his book, titled Germany's National Vice, that the German lust for wallowing in torture and destruction of human life is, according to the present author, Samuel Igra, attributable to one basic vice. It is the vice that has been raised almost to a social cult, as it has today, by the political leaders of Germany, and its poison has seeped down into the rank and file. In a white paper published by the British government, His Majesty's Consul General at Frankfurt on Main in Germany, who had spent many years among the German people and knew them quite well, gave his opinion as follows. The explanation of this outbreak of sadistic cruelty may be that sexual perversion, and in particular homosexuality, are very prevalent in Germany. It seems to me that mass sexual perversity may offer an explanation for this otherwise inexplicable outbreak. So that's coming from 1945, many years prior to our writing, The Pink Spots, 50 years actually. I'd like to comment on a couple of different principles here. I really enjoyed your interview with Dr. Narrett yesterday. And I felt that Frank O'Connor is a very well-informed individual. He refers to the Vatican's activities as far as souls are concerned as the collection of souls. I would say that it's more a control and exploitation of souls, especially ones that exude a spiritual energy or perceived spiritual energy that has significance. For instance, the concept of the Messiah. The Vatican doesn't want the Messiah to come. They do not want to see the dawning of the Messianic age. As a matter of fact, from an occultic perspective, the imagery of Jesus on the cross, he does symbolize the Jewish Messiah, but he's kept in occultic bondage to prevent him from coming, because you got to remember that the Vatican is involved in the occultic arts. So the idea is that the Messiah should not come, because once the Messiah does come, once the real Messiah does come, then Rome is pretty much done. And because they're the master pretense, they're the master fiction, the master pretense to the throne. And they intercede, they cut off, they sever man's communication, man's connection with his maker. And so that's one thing.
That's an interesting point you're making. Let's take a break, come back, and continue with that with my guest, Kevin Abrams, author of The Pink Swastika, back after this short message.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Second half hour with Kevin Abrams, author of The Pink Swastika, and I want to mention this. You can give us a call at 800-313-9443, and we will take some calls later on in this half hour. Kevin, go ahead. You were making a point about the not the collection of souls by the Vatican, but what is the controlling of souls? Go ahead.
Controlling and exploitation of soul energy. Basically, I mean, Skull and Bones does it. You know, they have with Geronimo's skull, apparently. They try and, the church has collected body relics, and they've been implanted in altars and so forth as to give them some kind of occultic or spiritual underpinning. And the Nazis did the same thing. They went around collecting the Spear of Longinus that was supposed to have pierced the side of Christ and et cetera. So anybody that is involved in a type of cannibalistic pursuit. Now, what is the principle of cannibalism? The principle of cannibalism is that which I eat or consume or possess is the energy from that is what I become. I become godlike, or, you know, I eat the flesh of a god, so to speak, in the transubstantiation of, you know, this type of thing that goes on at the Last Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. This is not a typically ethical monotheistic principle. A cannibalistic ritual has no place in Torah thought or Jewish thought or proper ethical monotheism or even in the mind of God. You cannot, you have to earn your spiritual quality, your character as an individual. It's something that you work for, that you strive for yourself. It's not something that you can borrow from someone else or steal from someone else. And basically, that's the cannibalistic principle, is to take from someone else. If a warrior, for instance, is a swift runner, well, if you happen to capture or kill him and you eat the flesh of his leg, well, then you're supposed to assimilate this quality of being able to run quickly. And if you look at the book by Reverend Hislop, Alexander Hislop, The Two Babylons, which is on the web, actually, it can be tracked down and linked on the web, you'll find that he records the definition for cannibalism as having originated from Khan Ebal, or priest of Baal. So basically, that's where the word it comes from, is from the meaning or from the I guess ancient Sumerian language or whatever of a priest of Baal Peor. So that is the foundation of the Roman religion is this cannibalistic Last Supper, which actually is intended to supplant or to replace the Seder, the Passover Seder, and we're coming up to Passover now, which is a family event. It's not an all-male event where the children and women are excluded. It's a family event where the younger generation, where it's imparted to the younger generation, this whole message, this entire message of freedom from slavery, liberation from bondage, and coming out of Egypt and so forth, and that this knowledge and this understanding of what it means to be a free person, of what it means to be a liberated individual, is imparted to the younger generation. That's the focus of the Seder. That's the focus of Passover. And when you supplant that with the Last Supper, the intention was to supplant the Seder, the Passover Seder, with the Last Supper, so that there would be no more Seders, that this message of liberation, that this message of freedom from state tyranny and repression should be heard no longer, God forbid, that this should be removed, and that the message of Rome, that the Rome is supreme, that the state is supreme, and that human beings or the people are subject to the dictates of the state. This is the kind that Rome didn't want this message, this Jewish message that comes out of the experience from in Exodus and so forth. This Mitzrayim, the word, the Hebrew word for Egypt is Mitzrayim, means limitation. It's the land of limitation. It's the land of bondage. The land of slavery. So when Benjamin Franklin's proposal for the design of the seal of the United States of America, the original seal, one of his proposals showed Moses holding up the Ten Commandments and the splitting of the Red Sea and the Jews coming out of Egypt, and it read on that side of the seal, obedience to God is rebellion against tyrants, or rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. I can't remember just exactly which way it read. But anyways, it wasn't, of course, voted as part of the seal. And actually, the bird of America was originally, one of the national birds of America was proposed to be the turkey, which probably would have been a lot better than the eagle, because the eagle is a predatory bird, at the same time being apparently noble, right? So basically, we have some fundamental mechanisms at work in American politics and through the media and through indoctrinating processes. One of them is called, which I refer to as the Luciferic Principle, which is the art of concealing darkness in light, or war in peace. We've never seen so much war under the guise of peace, for instance. We've never seen so much sickness result in the name of health, the health system, the pharmaceutical, medical, pharmaceutical cartel. Pardon me?
Go ahead. Yeah, and, good point.
So we have the Luciferic Principle, which is the art of manipulating the contradiction, often contradiction, between substance and form. Otherwise, Lucifer appears to be the luminous angel, but he brings darkness and death because he conceals darkness, but he has no life of his own. This is the principle of evil. The principle of evil is that it has no life of its own. It must take it from good, must take it from the source of life. It's the other side. And so it postures, and it mimics, and it's a huge pretense. And that's what the Rome has done all through history, is it's tried to possess and control, which is one of the reasons why they want to control the room where the Last Supper is supposed to be held in Jerusalem, because it sits over the top of King David's tomb. And they would like to control that energy, and they would like to exploit it and bring it to bear for the purposes of Rome. So this is what the Nazis did also with their collection of relics and whatever exuded some kind of occultic or spiritual energy. This is perceived to be able to be co-opted and to be guided and focused in a sense. But it's like the symbol, the swastika. The swastika itself is an ancient symbol, the swastika, and it revolves there's both a negative and a positive side to the swastika, the right revolving swastika, the fire wheel moving across the sky in a procreative and a progressive action, as opposed to the left revolving swastika, which is what the Nazis adopted, is the left revolving swastika, which is the path of regression and back to perceived glorious days, a return to what was the construct that the Nazi movement came up with, the Armenian Order and the Vril Society and all these occultic centers of Nazi energy or Nazi power. They all embraced this concept of returning to past Germanic glory and this resurrection of the Übermensch, the Superman, and the super race. And, of course, the Nazi racial construct was a bogus construct because there's no such thing as a super race, per se. And it's like the Jewish people. We're not a race of people, even though the Jewish people have been portrayed as a race. We're not a race. We're members of an ethical and moral covenant. And anybody that embraces or upholds the yoke of heaven, the covenant, the Mosaic covenant that was entered into between the Jewish people and God 3,400 years ago at Mount Sinai. We're all members of an ethical and moral covenant, and we're witnesses to that covenant. And that's the primary reason why the Nazis attacked the Jewish people, is because they symbolically and in this dimension of time and space represent that covenant of that moral covenant, that witness to moral and ethical conduct, and we give the world this conscience that helps to uphold and to build human dignity. You know, without morals and ethics, man has no dignity, no stature, which is why the state strives to control and strives to destroy human morality.
If I could just break in here a moment, there are many points on your website, Slave Ship America, that I want to get into, and these general this general discussion we're having now. I'd like to open this up to you. If you can come back tomorrow at 11 a.m., I have an open slot. I'd like to discuss this further with you during tomorrow's hour. Are you free tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay, but let's finish up.
I'll make myself free.
Yeah, I want to get into that, and we always run out of time, but I don't want to forget about what we started out the hour on, and that is connecting the dots between this militant gay pederast movement in the Nazi Party, which of course has roots in the Vatican because of their control over Hitler. That's been well documented in history. But I want to bring that into our country. We all know about the Vatican rat lines and the Nazis that have come over here.
Right.
But how has that same mentality, that same perverse mentality, infiltrated our government? I'd like you to comment on that.
Well, of course, you know, to the degree that you're corruptible today is to the degree that you can rise to a position of power. Because there's automatic filters in place. Dr. Judith Riesman has just written an article titled "The Sexualization of Young Girls." And she quite distinctly identifies this process, this filtering process that goes on in the hierarchy of power and in government today, that if you're not susceptible to corruption, if you can't be controlled through your vices, if you can't be controlled through some hidden knowledge about you and so forth, then you won't rise to any position of authority or power in today's culture. And that's just a fact. You're excluded automatically. And so, and of course, the homosexual world, it functions like a cult. This gay rights movement is basically a recruitment drive, and they're trying to put all the mechanisms in place to recruit to prevent people from censoring their recruitment, to prevent people from slowing them down. It's not a choice. It's something people were born with. It's all bogus. This is based on the falsification and exploitation of science. Science is empirical, and in the APA, like for instance in 1973, they did the same thing as they did in Germany. They enlisted mainstream academia and psychiatry to promote a well-regulated, what they referred to as a well-regulated form of homosexuality to assist the power of the state or to facilitate the power of the state and so forth. So basically it's all about power. It's all about control. There's one movie out there that people should try and watch if they can get a hold of a copy, titled The Damned. It stars Dirk Bogarde, and it documents in a movie fashion this whole process of sexual corruption in Germany and how the Oedipus son becomes a Nazi fascist SS officer and this type of thing. And of course, Oedipus is the longing for and idealization of the father figure, and the sexualization and resentment of the mother figure, right? The hatred of the mother, while at the same time lusting after her, and idealizing the father figure because he was absent, and at the same time despising him for his emasculation. So it's a paradoxical thing, and it produces a very disturbed and upset and fragmented individual from a psychosexual patterning perspective. So that these historical processes have been taking place in America. Henry Gerber, an American Army serviceman who was serving in Germany after World War I as part of the occupation forces, joined the Bund für Menschenrechte. The Bund für Menschenrechte was the Hellenistic side of the gay rights movement in Germany. That was the one led by Adolf Brandt. They had their own newspaper titled the Eigene, which meant, roughly translated, the community of the special. And they saw themselves, they saw homoerotic conduct or homoerotic relations between warriors or between men. Like the Spartans were 150 gay couples, primarily. They saw that these types of relations were a symptom of or a characteristic of a higher calling. And of course, the young boys were inducted into the cult, the warrior cult, in a similar fashion. And this also is documented by Gilbert Hurt in his book The Sambia, in which he lived with the Sambia tribe of Papua New Guinea for a number of months and documented their homoerotic initiation rituals, where the children were subjected to what would be tantamount to Korean brainwashing techniques, sleep deprivation and violence and so forth, and then forcibly put in a setting separate from the women. It was intended that it remain a secret from the women. Where they were placed there to be the receptors of the adult male population. And they found out that their uncles were somehow had some strange habits. They never imagined that this type of thing could occur. They were looked after by the women up until the age of 9 and then forcibly removed and inducted into this homoerotic setting. So this similar type of practice goes on from an occult or from a cultish kind of perspective. It went on in Germany, and it goes on today. It's largely concealed. What they attempt to do is control all the avenues of communication, whether it's media, every avenue of media, and stifle any kind of dissent or criticism or any bad news about, the comings and goings of the homosexual world. So and often, that harmless looking guy that's effeminate and he doesn't seem like he'd harm a fly and this sort of thing. Well, that is the image. That is the imagery that the more militant factions use to ride in on. They ride in on the coattails of apparent harmlessness and victimhood. And of course, victimology is one of the science of the regressive left. I call it the science of the regressive left, because if you're a victim in any one or the number of categories of victimhood in our culture, you can claim some kind of social entitlement or some kind of special dispensation. So victimology is the science of the regressive left, and certainly the Nazis used it and exploited it to its nth degree, claiming to be victims of a Jewish conspiracy while they themselves invaded and plundered and murdered their neighbors and went about exterminating millions of Jews in their scientific or technological version of population control. And this particular aspect of their population had been designated as being inferior, quote-unquote, from a racial perspective, which was actually a false construct from the word go. And the only way in which man can be superior or inferior in any fashion is that a man becomes superior through his self-control and through his moral bearing. and through his his personal growth and development. He doesn't become superior because he achieves a domination and a control and a capacity to exploit and plunder his fellow man. That's not any view of superiority that I would say fits anywhere in my pantheon of references. But anyways, I think that you're doing a great job with bringing all these points out to your listeners. I wish we had a wider audience, but I guess this is the place to start. And we're certainly getting a lot of information out. And I really appreciate you bringing me on your program to be able to talk about the pink swastika. It's just excellent.
Yeah, and I want to also, we got about, we're going to take a short break here as soon as the music begins, and then come back for about a 5-minute segment. I do want to discuss, we talk about the Nazis coming here. I think the same gay militant pederast thinking goes on within our leaders. I'd like to talk about that right after this short message.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Long time.
Left in this hour with Kevin Abrams, but I apologize to my callers, but call back tomorrow. He's going to be on at 11 o'clock tomorrow Central Time. Again, for another hour, we're going to get more in depth on some of the things we discussed today and move on to some new areas that he covers. What's that website again, Kevin?
My website?
Yes.
Yes, slaveshipamerica.com or .org or .net, doesn't matter.
And I promise
slaveshipamerica.com.
Yeah, I want to get into some of the things you discuss on that website tomorrow. But anyway, connect the dots now. What's going on? I mean, you hear, is the same thing happening? So many similarities to what happened in Nazi Germany, what's going on in our country. Do you see the same thing happening with this militant gay movement in our neocon leaders? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Number one, the fiat money system lends itself to state power. It circumvents public and legislative oversight. There are no ties on the activities of your so-called elected politicians. When you have fiat money, you can print as much money as you want, and you don't have to be held back by the constraints of limited finance. It's unlimited. So that the fiat money is an aspect of pretense. It's an aspect of appearance and contradiction between substance and form. It appears to be a dollar, but it's not. A dollar, the meaning of a dollar is a measurement of silver. It represents so many grains of silver. It was like a quart of milk. It's so much, it's a quantity of silver. So that's what a dollar actually means, and a claim upon a dollar. The other thing is that the issue is not the people who are fronting for power, like Bush and Cheney and all those guys, or Clinton. The issue is the people behind these people. Rockefeller, for instance, is the key figure in the undermining of American laws that applies to the American Penal Code, Model Penal Code, and so forth. And Dr. Judith Riesman, in her book, Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, The Red Queen and the Grand Scheme, documents the process by which American law was corrupted and science was put in place of the American Constitution. And the science of Dr. Alfred Kinsey is key to understanding the whole process as to how America has gotten to where it's at today. The Rockefeller faction targeted the American Constitution. His purpose in funding Kinsey was to ultimately target common law and the morality that underpinned common law in the as the basis of the American Constitutional Republic, that was to be targeted, that law was to be constructed on the basis of the new science, of Kinsey's new science, which was a scientific construct and a pretext that was utilized by lawmakers to undermine the moral and ethical constitution of the American Constitutional Republic and to give the state more power. And that's basically, but you've got to go and, if possible, and invest the time. On my website, I have a link, other articles or Arthur's articles and so forth. There is a link to Dr. Judith Riesman's website, and also there's one chapter of her book that can be read online. Chapter 7, I believe it is, but Chapter 8 has more of the information about how this process occurred. Now,
do me a favor. Can you email that to me this evening?
Absolutely.
And that'll prepare me a little bit for tomorrow, because I do want to start out with Kinsey tomorrow with you, Kevin. We're all out of time.
Okay.
And anyway, my callers, call back tomorrow at 11. Kevin will be back. Kevin Abrams, author of The Pink Swastika. Thank you so much, but we're all out of time today, Kevin. I look forward to tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. Thank you.
Okay, Greg.
Okay, that was Kevin Abrams. So we're going to continue on the Investigative Journal with my next guest, A. Truat, a excommunicated Mormon who has a story to tell about Vatican intrigue. Back after this short message.
Somehow, that somehow I'll return again to you.